Then it says this in verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to God. Father, it is good to be saved tonight, God. And Father, it is good to be to have a personal relationship, Lord, with the Creator of the universe. God, our God is not made out of concrete or plaster or plastic or wood or steel or anything like that, Father. Our God is the only living God, Father. I thank you, God, that we can be your children. Thank you, God, that we have this book. Thank you, Father, that in spite of all this weather, we can still be right here in a service where we can come around your Bible. Now, Father, I pray that all of the things that would prohibit your message from being put across, I pray, God, you'll take all those things, all the things about me, any distractions here. I pray, God, you'll just kind of stiff arm all of those things out of your way and that your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, David was grieving because he just, I guess what he thought about was, how can I live without this kid? You know, he's got this baby. And how can we manage? We've had this child. You don't know how long this child was around. I do come from a family where the first one born in our family was a sister who was, she was the first one born, lived 5 hours and died. My parents knew what this was like. And you know what you think? I'll tell you what, let me tell you what you don't know. You don't know how resilient you are. I didn't say brilliant, okay? I said resilient. What I mean by that is you just don't know how much you can take. You don't know what you can lose and still go on. David thought if he lost this child, it would be all over, and he lost the child, and what did he do? Once he lost the kid, everything was okay, let's grill some burgers and we'll enjoy ourselves. I think of your pastor. I hope you folks are praying for Brother Tom. I mean, literally, he has had an indoor pool in that house so long, it isn't even funny. And you know what you start thinking? You start thinking, well, I just couldn't stand it. I can't take it anymore. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what you can. You know, you go places around this world. I've been placed around this world where I'd go the whole week without hot water. You're thinking, just go take a cold shower tomorrow. I'll tell you what I don't think you can do. I don't think you can do it when you've got a choice. I mean, when there's a hot spigot and it's got something in it, I mean, you know, I mean, I'll be taking one of them cold showers. And I'll look over, because they're all plumb for hot. And I'll just look over that H and I'll say, liar. And you know what, though? You can get along without it. You can get along without it. But if you sit here right now, you know, you sit here right now, you say, oh, I could never go without air conditioning. I could never, how did we do without a dishwasher? Believe me, there's life after dishwashers. There's life after hot water, and there's life after this, and there's life after that. And here's the problem. The problem is, see, you perceive a life without some things and cannot conceive of what it would be like, and you say, I can't do that. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you can't do without, that you don't believe me. You're not going to like me. But you can't do. You can't. You believe this. You will never say these words, but many of you believe you cannot live without your TV. The title of my message is There Life After TV? If you were like me, you were raised on it. I was raised with a black and white set. I even remember the rage when we got one of these little colored things that we statically put it on the screen, and that was going to make it a color TV. And didn't even know what a remote was. I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, Brother Gip, the devil gave us TV, but God gave us the remote. And now they've got them, you know, where you can watch two stations at one time, right? And I was telling somebody the other day, you know, now I want you to know I'm on the winning side. What that means is I'm from the north. And I never really made much out of that until I got so tired of the southerners making a big deal out of losing. I was down south not long ago. I said, guys, I've lost a lot. Before I say, I lost a lot of fights in my life. I just never bragged about them for years. You guys had ever lost a fight. Are you quick to run around and tell everybody about it? But you know, there is a difference between a Southerner and a Yankee. And here's why I like Southerners. Yankees are analytical. Just like Brother Dale said, Yankees sit down. Here's what a Yankee does. If you've got a reason why you should do something, or if there's something you should do, a Yankee will have it a little alliterated point. Here's why you should. If there's something you shouldn't do, a Yankee will say, well, here's why you shouldn't. And I tend to do that too. Yeah, I mean, I will just tend to just converge. I will get a point, and I will just pound on it, and I'll hit it from about 9 or 10 different angles. I'm redoing the answer book right now, and somebody said, oh, you're adding new questions. I said, oh, no. No, I said, I'm just adding more punches per question, all right? Instead of answering a question with a punch, you'll hit the guy about 5 or 6 times from 5 or 6 different directions. And I've got a message, you know, that's why you should not have a TV. And this isn't it. This isn't it. But I have a message on why you should have a TV. Listen, I mean, honest, I even think TV news is bad. I think the weather reports are bad. And I can prove it. I can prove it. I'm telling you, it's not just preaching. I can prove it. Yeah, he can prove it. Whole different reason. But you know what? I get this Southern friend. I hear I could spend 1.5 to 2 hours telling you everything that's bad about TV. And my friend said to me one time, he said, Brother Sam, you know why I got rid of my TV? And I said, why? He said, because I like to watch it. Now, that's a Southerner. You know, a Southerner just bring you down to earth sometimes. He just said, I got rid of my TV because I like to watch it. If I can't think of a better reason for getting rid of TV. And I'm not telling you to get rid of your TV tonight. I am addressing the fear you have of getting rid of it. That's true. That's why you won't get rid of it. I don't believe this. I don't believe there's a Christian here who thinks their TV's good. I don't believe you do that. I don't believe there's anybody here that does not know your TV's bad. So here you sit. We love God. We got the book. We're all straight. We got this. We got that. We want to please God. Here you sit tonight, and yet in your living room, you got something that you acknowledge as bad, haven't gotten rid of it. You got rid of the beer in the icebox. You got rid of some dirty magazines. You got rid of some bad music. And here is something that is going to do far more damage to your family. And if you don't have a family, it'll hurt you, I promise. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you don't believe. You won't say it in these words. You don't believe you can live without it. You can't conceive of what life without TV is like. Here was David grieving, couldn't understand what it would be like to have life. Could there be life after the death of this child? Man, as soon as the kid was dead, he went out and partied. I mean, he got right back, washed up, sat down to eat, said, okay, man, that's done. You can't conceive of you doing that after you got rid of a TV set. So I'm going to talk to you about, is there life after TV? I'm not telling you to get rid of TV. I don't have to tell you your TV's bad. It would be harder to convince you that a shark is bad. Because now all the humanists are telling us the sharks are good. That's right. All the alligators are good. Snakes are good. They're all misunderstood. That's the truth. I heard some stupid woman. And she studies sharks. And she says, well, most shark attacks on humans are what we call taste and release. Oh, right. Right. Oh, I ripped your leg off by accident. Excuse me. I wanted an arm. And so I bet some of you watch the TV special on sharks and alligators and snakes and half come away saying, they're misunderstood. I have a harder time convincing you that a shark is bad than I would that your TV is bad, because you already know that's bad. Is there life after TV? All right, here's the assumption. The assumption is, if you get rid of it. Because that's what the whole problem is. The whole problem is, you know it's bad. I'm not going to try to convince you that it's bad. And you say, okay, what if I got rid of it? And all of a sudden, there's that vacuum, that vacancy, that time. Just like what Brother Nugent said, brother, listen, you need to understand some of the things that we say, and we don't even know what we're saying. Carnival, carne is flesh. What he said tonight, amusement. Muses to think. Muses does not think. And you know what you do? You got a TV so that you never have to think. You can just be what? Amused all the time. I hear this all the time. I hear people say, well, I just got it for entertainment. How much entertainment do you need? Really, you know, you get these babies and you put them in a crib and you string this line over there, you know, and you got this little thing that they hit it and it spins and this one quacks and this one squeezes. You say, what are you doing? I'm entertaining the baby. I understand that. I understand entertaining a baby. I understand I'll buy them a little squeezy toy or do something for them or play with them because they need, because you say, why? Because they're babies. But really, people, now really, and I even understand you needing entertained sometimes. But 4 hours a night, every night of the week, how much do you need entertained? Amen. This is not my message. This is my message. If you got rid of your TV, here's what you would experience. Number one, less filth in. Now that is true, right? This is a filth. This is a world that is submerged in filth, is it not? And it is preoccupied with filth. You know as well as I do, you're never going to see an HBO special on the gospel that's going to present it in anything good. But instead, HBO and Showtime and all those other things, they push the envelope. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, I don't have that. You see filth on whatever you're watching. I mean, it's come down to the point where you flip through the nature special and you'll see two spiders having intercourse because that's scientific. That's right. And that is sick. Somebody's got a preoccupation with that. And they want you to have it. Now, just if you got rid of your TV, here's what you'd experience. You would experience less filth in. Fewer programs would mean less spiritual garbage. I went to Bible college. I didn't go to Bible college for this. I went to college before I got saved. I went to college for computer programming. And there's just an old computer programming adage, garbage in, garbage out. If you mess up that program, if you're getting a bad reading out, it is something you put in that screwed up. You punched a hole in the wrong column on a card. That's how long ago it was when I was, brothers. And we were punching them with an awl and a, yeah, okay, yeah. Listen, they were so old when I was talking to a guy that programs computers, and I said, I worked with IBM 1401s. That is a first-generation IBM computer. And this guy goes, 1401s? I said, yeah, autocoder. Listen, the printers, when we had them, the printers, when you wanted it to print, a hand and a chisel and a hammer came out and chiseled into stone. You know, that's how old it was. I went to college to learn how to program computers. And you know what they told us? Like I said, they told you garbage in, garbage out. So think about it. If you got rid of your TV, there would be less garbage in. Right? Now, apparently, that offends you. Apparently, the thought of not being assailed by filth and four-letter words and garbage really upsets you because you're scared to death to get rid of your TV lest you not get your filth quota every day. Lest you not be offended or assaulted or insulted daily enough, you have this box that does it for you. Now see, when I think that way, I don't think you're very smart. I don't think it is a very smart person who sits down and has something spew vile language in their living room and then they gripe when they hear it in a restaurant.
Amen.
I don't understand why you get mad. Some of you guys come home and you say, oh man, them guys at work, they take God's name in vain, and they say this, and they say, and you don't think they should do it at work. Why don't you go tell, why don't you just be honest with this guy, all right? Here's what I want you to do next time. Next time you hear that guy taking God's name in vain, now you got to live up to your convictions. So you go over to that guy and say, hey, I don't ever want to hear you doing this at work again. From now on, I want you to do this in my living room with my wife and my children there, and I'll pay you $400 to do it. They say, I'd never do it. You already have. I had a guy in my church called me up one time and he said, preacher, I want to ask you a favor. I said, sure. He said, would it be all right if I brought my TV out to the church and shot it? I said, oh, yes. I said, you need to get rid of the TV. We need the fill for the parking lot. And we did. So he brought it out. We both got our rifles and we put it out on a mound of dirt out back of that church. And you know, I was his pastor. And so he said this. He said, go ahead, pastor. He said, you take the first shot. Because, you know, I mean, he felt, you know, like I would be his pastor and I'm ridding him of his TV and everything. And I said, no, I'm not going to take the first shot. He said, no, pastor, really, I want you to take the first shot. I want you to shoot my TV. I said, no, I'm not shooting that TV. He said, pastor. He said, really, I want you to be the first one to shoot my TV. I said, I am not shooting that TV. He said, why not? I said, because it didn't sit in my living room and cuss at my wife. And all of a sudden, this guy goes, that's right. I said, whoa, save me a fine-tuning knob here, you know. And you know what's crazy about some of you men? Now, look,
I have been in restaurants where I've almost gotten into fights over the filthy, stinking, rotten language that I heard. I was sitting in a place in Masson. My wife was expecting our second child. This was some years ago. And here's my wife. She's expecting. And here I am, you know, dressed like a preacher. And these are awful in a fight. I mean, that's a handle, man. When you fight a lot, you this scares you to death. You see this guy going, you know. And four high school kids from the Canton McKinley wrestling team. And they were all about like that piano. And they sat about two tables. Now, look, we're in a hamburger joint after church. And these guys, this one in particular, started shooting off four-letter word. One particular four-letter word. Now, do you understand this? You big, strong, tough, macho men. Do you understand this? If I take my wife into a bar and she hears that, I really don't have a complaint, do I? If I take her and sit her in a bar and she hears that, it is my fault. So I stay out of the bar, if you don't mind. But I am not surrendering the hamburger joint, not this Baptist preacher, pal. I mean, there may be life after TV. I'm not sure there's life after hamburgers, all right? And here's my problem. I've never had any tact. I have never had any tact. And so my wife sees me boiling. She says, we should leave. I said, we're not leaving. We're not done. And finally, and I just made it up. I just made up my mind. I'm taking this kid out. And I said, bud, and I can't remember, I can't remember if I said something, what I said, but anyway, he got up and walked over and stood here. Now, here's the problem. You can't, the tables are bolted to the floor. The chairs are bolted. You can't even push the table out of your way and stand up. I've got to, excuse me, may I slide? This guy's hammered on my face. I'm going to have to, excuse me, I have to slide out here, you know. And so I told God this. I said, I'm going to tell this kid what I don't like what he's saying. And I said, then, whatever he says, I'm going to hit him. Because I know he's going to get smart, and I got to get a punch in, because I got to slide out of here, get the coat off, get the vest off, get the tie off. It was predestined, man. This kid was going face down on my table. I was probably going to bounce his head a couple times. Now I was going to stand under, try to get undressed so I could fight him. And he came over and stood beside me. He said, yeah. And I already know this punk is going to say something. So I'm serious. I'm going to tell him. I said, here's what I said. I said, look, kid, I said, I brought my wife in here. I said, if I brought her into a bar and she heard that kind of language, I'd have no complaint. But I said, I brought her into this place, and I said, I don't want her to hear that kind of language. And then I just decided, see what's coming next. I'm going to deck him because I can say, hey, punk, you call me, you know. And he said, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have hit him, man. No, I didn't. And that was it. You guys, how many times have you been in a restaurant? How many times have you been in a room and you've heard somebody just turn the air blue? And you were, I mean, we don't like to hear it, but our wives, I mean, we try to keep our wives clean. And you guys got upset? You phony. You miserable fraud. You don't like to hear it in a restaurant, but you have it in your living room and you pay to have it in your living room? And you pay to have it delivered by some queer? Right? Some stinking pervert. Listen, did you ever stop and think that through television, the magic of TV, you can pay to have somebody in your house that you would pride yourself in locking out if they were standing on your porch? Isn't that true? Amen. Some of the people that show up on that tube and say some of the things in front of your wife, in front of your children, you wouldn't let them in your house if they were standing on your porch. Right. And you would even come and say, hey man, so-and-so tried to get in my house. I told him, take a hike. But you bought a TV so you could have it in there. And they heard it. Now think about it, folks. I said, if you got rid of one, there'd be less filth in. Try this. What would happen if you did this? You go to a bar. You never buy a drink. Never buy a drink. I mean, nothing more than maybe a 7-Up or a Coke. You don't buy a beer. You don't buy a shot. You don't buy any wine. You don't buy any alcoholic beverage. But this bar just happens to have the best shrimp basket in town or fried chicken or something like that. You used to have it there before you got saved. And so you go there and you buy this Coke and you buy this fried chicken or this shrimp basket. And you go there for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, and in that time period, you never, ever take a drink. You say, see. I'll tell you what's going to happen over that period of time. Though you will never take a drink, you know what will happen? Your language will change. You know what will happen? You're going to start lusting more. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get mad. You'll say something you ought not to say. You're going to react in the wrong way. You're going to start telling jokes that are off color. You say, why? Because the filth was still getting in. People, we've got born again Christians. I'm talking about born again, King James, Bible, even all this slop that we're supposed to be. And they got the stuff coming in. Let me ask you this, and I'm not going to do it. But what if I stood here in this pulpit in mixed company with kids? What if I did no more than describe some scenes that your people, your family, has seen on TV in the living room? You know, you get mad at me for saying the word. And if I use no foul letters, no foul words, but if I just talked about some women and their actions, if I described from this pulpit right now some things that your family saw in your living room on your TV, you know what you would say? I don't want my family to hear that. You kidding? Who are you kidding? Go look in a mirror. You're looking a fool, man. That's the only person you're kidding. So what I'm saying is this. If you got rid of your TV, there would be less filth in. Now, apparently, the thought of not getting all that filth in upsets some of you. Or scare some of you. You don't know how you'd manage to endure, how you manage to live without a daily dosage of filth. And let me tell you this. If you really want to know, there's enough out there. You'll get it. Don't worry. Coors will put up a billboard near your house. I mean, there is enough filth. Your family will see enough TV if you never had one. I promise you, they'll get their quota of garbage, of foul words, of dirty scenes. Honest, they'll get enough. Or maybe they won't get enough. Maybe you really realize they need a daily dosage. What else would happen? Your family life would be better. Now, that's a horrible thought, apparently. It must be a horrible thought because most of it... Hey, you know what you can tell? I can tell when I walk into a house by the living room what kind of family they got. Because, and it's just by looking at the living room furniture. Because if they have a TV, all of the furniture is arranged toward it. And if they don't have a TV, all of the furniture is arranged so you can actually sit there and talk to people. Now, I know that's a rather abstract concept. Scary thought. Someone would speak to you and expect you to come up with an intelligent answer. But if you got rid of your TV, you'd have a better family life. Can I say this? Well, sure I can say this. Your television hates your family. If I walked up here and told you that I hated your family, you'd say, I'm not going to subject my family to somebody who does not have their well-being first in their mind. But you put in the corner of your living room, oh, forget the corner, man. You bought the kids one so they could have one in their own room. And that's a fact. I mean, that way they can watch theirs. They don't have to mess with your programs. And you don't give me this stuff, you know, about we monitor. Oh, come on, man. Listen, I would rather bare hand wrestle a cobra than try to control a television set. Your television hates your family. Let me ask you a question. Is it the desire of the people who are behind your television set? I'm talking about Hollywood, New York, the whole nine yards. Is it their desire that your children end up being born-again Christians? Now, you see, you knew that, didn't you? See, I didn't have to tell you that. Is it their desire that your children love the Lord Jesus Christ? No. But I'll tell you what it is their desire. It's their desire that your children be homosexual. Now, you go down the street, playground down the street. There's your six-year-old kid. And there's a homosexual trying to recruit him. What are you going to do, Dad? Oh, I know. You're going to tell him, don't do it out here. Do it in the privacy of my living room. You see what I'm saying? See, the thought of some woman trying to turn your daughters into lesbians and some man trying to turn your boys into homosexuals, I mean, it just makes the hair stand up the back of your neck. You want to strangle somebody? Just the thought of somebody doing that. And that is exactly what goes on in your living room or up in their bedroom every single day. Isn't that right? Your television wants to turn your kids queer. And some of your kids will end up that way. You know what you'll do? You'll blame your church. You'll say, oh, it wasn't the church. They end up messed up anyway. The church didn't do the job. Don't you ever blame a church. Don't you ever blame a church. That's like taking your family to a restaurant, and as soon as you bring them home from the restaurant, you serve them poison 7 days a week and say, gee, they died of poison. That restaurant doesn't serve good food. That restaurant served fine food. You poisoned them every day when they came home. And I know what some of you do, you lazy thing. You let it be a babysitter. Set the kid down. Oh, we watch. We monitor what they watch. What do you mean you monitor? You couldn't care less. As long as they don't bother you. And that's the truth. You sit here right now, you think there's stuff wrong, and you're sitting there with a Lion King video at your home for your kid. Now, I'm going to tell you something, guys. I don't think Cinderella or Snow White and Seven Dwarfs are too bad. That's back when Disney was thinking about good things about a family. But this Pocahontas and Lion King, and I don't know what this Hercules is about, but I guarantee it's bad. I guarantee it's got some mystical god stuff. Amen. I'll guarantee you it's got something pagan, something new age. And all you guys sit there and say, yeah, Disney sure is wrong. And how much is the video? It doesn't make any sense. Amen. It doesn't make any sense at all. You know what your TV wants? Your TV wants to turn your kids into environmentalists and animal rights people. Amen. Now, if you think that's good, you're stupid. Listen, you're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this. I can put up with queers better than I can put up with environmentalists. You know why? Because homosexuality is a sin. But environmentalism is a false religion. That is turning away from the right God to another God. And I got the best God. And I'll tell you, when somebody wants... And you ever hear these people, you witness somebody, they say, I don't go shoving your religion down my throat. Wait a second, man. Every time they tell me I got to put the styrofoam here and the aluminum there, somebody's shoving their religion down my throat. Yes, sir. I've trained my boys. You see that thing that says tin cans? I said, crumble up the paper and put it in there. I said, I'll never want to see you put an aluminum can in there. I said, you put the aluminum where it says styrofoam. And if that upsets you, hey, listen, I want you to know why I do that, because we're trying to help the unemployment problem. They got to hire some mindless goon to say, this is paper, this is tin can, and I'm keeping somebody working. You know why I do that? I'll tell you why I do that, because I don't worship in that church. I don't worship in that church. And if you want me down on my knees to that God, you better shoot me in both knees, pal, because I am not voluntarily getting down. I am not going to worship. I mean, squirt all the charcoal fluid you can and light it, even if you're not grilling. Use styrofoam and burn it in the backyard and watch those big black clouds of smoke, soot, go up in the sky. It's a wonderful thing. You say, why do you? Listen, I step on ants. I step on ants. I don't even have nothing against ants. You think I'm nuts, because you know how mean and bad I sound? Listen, if I'm driving down the road and I see a woolly bear caterpillar crossing the street, I will straddle it so I don't run over it. I don't want to hurt it. I will do anything I can to keep from hurting something. But I step on ants intentionally just because I know if environmentalists know I do it, it upsets them. And so if that upsets you, you got the wrong God. And your kid's going to end up that way. I don't feel bad about Jacques Cousteau dying. He did everything he could for Mother Earth. He did everything he could for all the animals. I don't feel bad. He's down there comparing notes with Carl Sagan. Doesn't bother me. Let him and Gene Dixon talk about it. I don't care. Oh, I know. You like the nature specials. Hey, man, who doesn't like to see something floating around in the water? Well, you don't want to see everything floating around in the water. Not only does your TV hate your children as far as having a better family life, but you'll have better development. Your children will learn to play instead of watch. Your kids will have a brain that can think. It can imagine. Amen. We had a young kid come over our house one time, and he started playing with our son, and after half an hour, he said, there's nothing to do here. Yeah, right. You know what he meant? He meant there's nothing to watch here. Amen. This whole problem was there was everything to do, but he'd have to do it. That's why half of the toys you buy your kid, all you got to do is put in batteries, turn on a switch, and they watch it play by itself. Oh, look, my dad got me a new toy. $80 worth of batteries, $120 toy. It weighs 75 pounds. You flip it on. Having fun, new toy? Oh, yeah, I love this, Daddy. I don't know what to do. If you do not have a television set, your little children will learn how to play. Amen. Your little children will not come to you worried about a hole in the ozone. They will not come to you worried about, the snail darter or the African elephant going extinct or anything else they do not have to worry about. Listen, every time you hear that junk, you know what you do? Send the kid playing. Man, I love to watch my kid play. I love to watch him play. I said, go out there and attack some Indians. Yeah, we still fight them. I say, oh, go shoot some environmentalists if you'd rather that, okay. go to a gay pride rally and pretend you're shooting everybody, you know, because people get mad if you shoot Indians. People, if you don't have a TV, your children will learn to play. I'll tell you something else. Your children will learn to think rather than follow. Half of you can't think. You can't think. You don't have an opinion. You don't have an opinion until 2020 or 60 Minutes or Learner and Lair or whatever it is gives it to you. I got this poster I used to have on my wall when I was a pastor. It's a gorilla. And he's standing there like this. And he says, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Well, that's exactly what your television set says to every one of you. You know, one of the things that I learned when I was a computer programmer, I learned that a computer is a stupid machine. Everybody gives a computer far more credit than it's got coming. They say, oh, computer's a brilliant machine. It's a stupid machine, stupid machine. You get an unprogrammed computer. Take it out of the box and turn it on, and if it had a mouth, it would breathe through it. Hey, what's 2 and 2? Hey, man, what's the capital of Connecticut? Now, think about it, folks. A toaster works out of the box. A mixer works out of the box. A can opener works out of the box. You say, well, my computer worked out of the box. No, they programmed it. Get the raw computer. It can't do anything. But now here's what happens. A computer is a neutral, mindless, unthinking machine until you program it. So you bring this mindless thing and you shove in a word processing program. And it goes like this. And now it's ready to correct your spelling and grammar. Right? And ask it through that word processing program, what's 2 and 2? And it'll go, I'm not programmed for that. And you know what some of you are going to do tonight? You're going to leave this place. You're going to go home. You're going to sit down in front of your television. You're going to put your mind in neutral, breathe slowly through your mouth, and you're going to watch a what? Is that what they call them? A program? No. No, no, it can't be true. No, don't tell me that somebody in Hollywood thinks that all you people are nothing but just stupid, mindless machines that cannot think and that you will only do what you're programmed to. No, nobody would think that. Let me ask you a question. Is murder bad? It's wrong, isn't it? Yeah. And abortion is wrong, isn't it? Sure it is. Of course, yeah. You know that. But when I was a kid, all the programs were showing about all these poor women from back alley abortions, and even the Christians start saying, oh yeah, well, you know, they are dying with back alley abortions if it was legal and safe. Yeah. You know where they got TV.
Right.
And so you know what they're showing you right now? I'll tell you what they're showing you right now. Right now they're showing you pictures of where these two brothers are such good friends all their life, and one of them is injured in a car wreck, and he breaks his neck, and he's paralyzed from the neck down, and he's laying in his bed, and he looks over at his brother and says, oh man, you love me, don't you? Yeah, I love you, brother. I'm sorry you like this. Yeah, will you let me die with dignity? Go get the shotgun and shoot me. And you know what? You just said murder was wrong. And you watch that and you come away crying.
Yeah.
And you come away saying, well, yeah, but I know it's wrong, but you know, you know why that is? Because you're a stupid, neutral machine that cannot think, and all you can do is what your program tells you to do.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have one, you'd have to think, which would be a terrible thought. I'll tell you something else about your family life being better. There would be better input into you and your family. Try this. Read your Bible. Half of the reason most of you people don't read your Bible is because you watch too much TV. So how much is too much? Did you turn it on? You never turned it on to see one thing and turned it right back off when it was over. And don't give me this stuff about you. Well, I just got it for the educational programs. Yeah, listen, bud. If you paid $800, set this thing in the corner, it's got a screen this wide, and you let all that filth go across your living room, and if you said because you needed the educational programs, you need the education because you are stupid. Now, if you didn't have one, you might be compelled to read this book you say you love. I mean, some of you go sit there and you'll watch 2 and 3 and 4 hours of TV a night. Man, you could read 10 pages in a lot less time than that. Now, think about this. With no TV, less filth in. With no TV, more Bible in. You think there might be a change? You think there might be just a little change in you? Yeah. So you'd have better. Your kids would read the Bible. Your children would read their Bibles if they didn't have their own remote. Oh, I know. You just got one because you wanted the videos because you wanted the Three Stooges. Well, let me tell you something, pal. There's four. Because everybody that got it for that found out that you can only watch so many Three Stooges and so much Laurel and Hardy before you just got to see some blood and guts. I mean, you just got to see somebody get blown right through a wall. It ain't fun if somebody didn't die. I'm sorry, ladies, but Little Women does nothing for me unless some guy gets out there with a machine gun and mows them all down while they're skipping through the grass.
Yeah.
Not only would you have better input through Bible reading, you'd have better input through book reading.
Right.
Reading books. My son, John, he's 21 years old. 10 years ago, John had a major crisis in his life. A crisis so bad, he was 11 years old. Crisis so bad, I mean, he wept uncontrollably. And he thought there was no tomorrow. You know what had happened? He had just finished the last Hardy Boys book. And he thought there were no more books in the world to read. 72 books in the series by the time he was 11. He had read all 72 of them. And he thought, there's nothing out there to read. And the kid liked to come apart. Now, here's what some of you are going to say. You're going to say, I don't like to read. How many of you be honest enough to say you don't like to read? Let me see your hands. All right. Now, I want you to notice something right now. Put your hand down. Where's my hand? I hate reading. Or hated. In fact, when I got saved, the church I got saved in sent out this letter to everybody that got saved. And it said, now that you're saved, you're a child of God, there's three things you ought to do every day. You ought to talk to your father every day. That's by prayer. You ought to let your father speak to you every day. That's by reading the Bible every day. And you ought to witness every day. That's telling people about your father. You know what I did? I threw that letter across the room. I was livid. And I said, nobody's telling me to read a book every day. I'll read it every day. I had a TV. Listen, how come I got rid of it before I ever heard a sermon on it? I had a TV in my room when I got saved. And when I was going to go to Bible college, I thought, I'm not going to get anything good out of this. And I traded it for a record player. Remember those folks? Yeah, just dream about Velcro kids. Anyway, I bought a record player. I went out and bought the four album Handel's Messiah by the London Philharmonic. And I just listened to that all day long. But you know what I thought? I thought, if I'm going to get anything into my brain, I'm either going to get it through a TV or I'm going to get it through reading. The problem is, I like to watch TV and I hated reading. So I said, I am going to have to cultivate an interest in reading. So you know what I did? I got things I liked. Rather than get stuff on the Bible or anything else, I got stuff on war. I like war. I like biographies. I like military things. I began to read those. I like cars. I read those. You know what I'd do? I'd read three or four of those, and then I'd slip in something that was good for me. I'm reading a book right now on the Oxford Movement. That was in mid to late 1800s in England, where the Episcopalian Church was being turned back into the Roman Catholic Church, and it's boring just telling you about it. I'm reading it. I'm reading another one about John the Baptist. I'm reading another one on war. I'm reading another one. I usually read four books at a time. I know I got three up there that I'm reading, beside my Bible reading, plus writing four. But you know what I did? I cultivated an interest in reading. Now let me tell you what happened. 8 years after this, from the time I got saved, 8 years after I was saved, I was wondering, you ladies, you know, you try to lose weight, and you think, man, I wonder if I'm losing anything. Is anything working? And we pulled into Gettysburg. Now, my wife and I spent our honeymoon in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And then we went back there for our 7th anniversary. And so this was about 8 years, maybe eight years after I decided to start reading. And we pulled into Gettysburg. Now, if you've ever been in Gettysburg, how many of you have been in Gettysburg? All right, great. It takes about 3 days to see it. It is, if you haven't been there, you ought to go there. We pulled into Gettysburg, and I said to my wife, I wonder if they got a bookstore. I said, Kathy, did you hear what I said? She said, yeah. I said, she says, we're in Gettysburg, and you're wondering about a bookstore? You know what happened? It took. You don't like to read today? I believe you. That does not mean that still has to be true 5 years from now. You say, we don't have 5 years. You didn't think we had five years ago. You've been wrong before. Trust me once. There's more to books than color and pictures. And if you didn't have a TV, you would read and your family would read.
Right.
Good night. You know what we do when we finish a book? I taught my boys. You finish a book, open it up the very back fly leaf. I'd put SCG, my initials, and I put the date. 7/97. That's the day I finished that book. That way, if I go back to that book, I think, when was the last time I read it? And I look in there. You know what you'll do in a lot of ours? In fact, Brother Dale just brought back a book on war and that he had borrowed. And I opened up the back because I knew I had read it. You know what it said in the back? SCG with a date. NDG, Nathan Daniel Gipp, and a date. LMG, Luke Michael Gipp. It's this thick, folks. And a date. Say, why? He turns pages better than he operates a remote.
Amen.
And so you would have better input as far as Bible reading. I know this is going to sound really rinky-dink. Family games.
Amen.
They're fun. Especially when your kids lose. Now, men, listen, I want to speak to all men and their wives right now. Let me give you one minor adjustment in the seating position, and you will enjoy games again. You and your wife sit so that you can't hurt each other. Well, that's real. Listen, you don't have to sleep with them kids. You got to sleep with this lady. I always make sure, listen, we play Uno. I make sure Kathy sits over there. So that she can't put a draw four on me. And I can't put a draw four on her. But oh, we take pleasure in hurting our kids. Oh, we hurt them. And they hurt us. I mean, man, I've had them kids just, and they love doing it to us. And we love doing it to them. But I'm gonna be honest with you, I love this lady. I'd feel bad about throwing a draw four on her. I don't wanna throw a draw four on my wife. And she hurts me. Man, I go to sleep, the next thing I know, I wake up and books are hitting me in the head. And so I just sit, look, and guys, I'm telling you the truth. If you play one of them games where you can smash the person beside you, make your wife so she's not beside you, and hurt your children. You'd learn some games, and you'd have a good time. And you'd laugh. Oh, man, you'd laugh. Listen, I mean, there are some score sheets that we have kept for posterity. You know that? We have got some. I'm praying to my kids become millionaires. I'm going to sell them back to them someday. Yes, it's just great. But you never do that if you have TV. Your idea of family games is, yeah, give me the controller now. You ready for this? This will be a wild thought. Family discussion. I cannot tell you how many times Luke and I have had a major Bible discussion, him sitting on my lap just before he goes to bed. I mean, he just pops up and he'll give me kisses. And he'll say, and he'll have a question. He's not stalling to keep from going to bed. Because a lot of times he'll do it in the middle of the afternoon. But he'll ask me a question. It'll lead to this, and it'll lead to that, and it'll lead to this, and it'll lead to that. And I'm going to tell you, if I had a remote in my hand and I was watching TV, I'd say, go to bed, we'll talk about it later.
That's right.
And we'd never talk about it.
You're right.
Never, ever talk about it. Some of you guys don't even talk to your wife. How do you convince your children you love them when one of them makes the mistake of stepping into the death zone? That is between dad and the television. Get away, I can't sleep! I love you. You're telling me some object made out of nothing but some transistors and tubes and wires and electricity with a bunch of queers on it calling your family names has made you talk to your family like that? You just might talk to your family. You got rid of your TV, number one, you'd have less filth in. Number two, you'd have a better family life. Number three, you would feel better. You would feel better. You like feel good? Sure you do. Everybody does. If you don't, go drive nails with your forehead. Everybody likes to feel good. Some of you go to bed at night hoping you won't be hurting when you wake up in the morning. Isn't that right? I don't think anybody goes to bed saying, oh, I hope I hurt tomorrow. Oh, man, I hope I have a headache. I hope I feel lousy. I hope I feel nothing but anguish and pent-up frustration. Everybody likes to feel good. Here's what would happen. Fewer movies, because you don't have no TV. I said fewer. You say, you mean none, don't you? No, you'll see one somewhere. Trust me, with no TV, you'll see plenty.
That's right.
And that does not mean, now that does not mean, get rid of your TV and go visit your neighbors. Hey, how are you doing, Tom? Did you know what's on tonight? Well, I mean, I just wondered. I saw it in the paper today when I was, you're going to watch this? You're going to watch this? You know what's on tonight? Yeah, really, it's on tonight. If you had fewer movies, there would be less lust.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Now, don't you want to get rid of some of it? Some of you guys walk around all day long and say, oh, I'm grieving. I keep lusting. Well, get rid of your TV. It would help it a little, wouldn't it? I know this kind of simple. I don't know if this is, you know, I try to say it with one-syllable words because I know a TV audience can't handle much more than that. But you would feel better. Think of this. Think of the stuff you wouldn't have to confess.
Amen.
Haven't you ever watched a movie and it made you want to cuss?
Well, yes, sir.
I'll tell you something. The bad guys are thoroughly wicked. Thoroughly wicked. People, you'd have less lust without a TV, without the movies. You'd have less anger.
Amen.
Right? Don't tell me you never watched anything that it didn't make you mad. Made you real mad. Made you so mad you laid in bed huffing and puffing. So mad you had to get up and watch something else. Just to show how intelligent you are. Lest anybody think you're an idiot. My TV made me so mad last night, but I watched it for 2 more hours. Yeah, you're very smart. Wouldn't you feel better if you didn't get so angry? Now really, if you did not get angry all the time, would that not make you feel better? If you don't have a TV, you're not going to watch that stuff. It's not going to make you mad. You got mad watching the news. But that's not an accident. The news is only written to get 3 reactions out of you. Make you angry, make you frustrated, and make you want to quit. They make you want to not fight. Now, if you think I made that up, watch your news. And when by the time the news is over, see if some story in there somewhere has not made you angry, has not frustrated you, or made you just want to give up fighting. You see if that hasn't happened. It'll happen every time you watch the news. Why? Well, it's because they love you. Listen, man, they'd spit on your grave. They'd spit on your grave and take your kid away and do anything they want to them. That's what they do. That's how much they love you. If you didn't have a TV, you'd feel better. Less worry. I told you just the other day. I'll tell you right now, somebody in this room is worried about something that will never affect their life. Why? Because you saw it on TV. And your master demanded of you that you worry about it. And you can't resist your master. So you have dutifully worried about it. You walk around worrying about, look, this thing about the African elephant. The African elephant is going extinct. Let me ask you a question. What if, it is, I got 9:35. Don't worry, I'll be done in an hour and a half. 9:35. What if I told you this? What if the report came in that at 9 o'clock sharp tonight, the last African elephant died? I didn't notice the lights dim a half hour ago. Would you be sitting there and all of a sudden go, ooh, pain in my heart. I'll bet the last African elephant died somewhere. How would it affect your life? It wouldn't. In fact, you ought to thank God they're not crossing the freeway in front of you. Or you'd want them all dead. And you know what I read? I read that the two countries where they're the most concerned about the African elephant going extinct are England and the USA. You say, why? Ain't a whole lot of African elephants doing a dance on your house. People, here you sit. You worry about seals. You worry about snails. You worry about them building a dam and they're going to hurt the trees. You worry about stuff. You are stressed out on junk. Good night. Is your life not busy enough to keep you stressed out? You got to go try to get something to stress you out. Now, think about it. If you did not have a TV, there would be less things to worry about and less stress.
Amen.
But apparently you like stress. You love taking all those pills. I'll tell you what else would come with no TV as far as you feeling better. It's what I call divine ignorance. You know what divine ignorance is?
Hallelujah.
You just wouldn't be up on what's going on. I was on staff of a church in Ohio, and there's a large church, and there were two hospitals in our town, and then there were two hospitals in the very close adjoining town, 8 miles away. And so one, like on Tuesday, I would have the Maslin hospitals, And on Thursday, I would have the Canton hospitals. And we would have about 20, 30 people in each one of those hospitals. And so I walked in one day, it was Tuesday, and I don't know if I had the Masson or the Canton, but anyway, I walked in to get the hospital calls, and the secretary, the church secretary said, now this was years ago, she said, Eric Estrada is in the hospital. And I said, well, is she in the Maslin hospitals, a hospital, or a Canton hospital? And she said, she looked at me like I just got off the boat. She said, not Erica Estrada, Eric Estrada. It's a man. I said, oh, well, is he in the Maslin hospitals or in the Canton hospitals? And then she looked at me like, really? She knew, I must have come from a spacecraft. And she only said one word. She looked at me and she went, chips. And I looked at her and I went, potato. I said, ooh, I like these kind of games. Is it my turn now? And then she proceeded to tell me about this Eric Estrada, some motorcycle bozo cop in some TV program, fell off his motorcycle and hurt himself. And I said, okay, well, is he in the Maslin Hospital or the Canton Hospital? And she said, well, I think he's in Los Angeles. I said, I don't have those today. You know, there's just a lot that goes on you wouldn't know about that you don't need to know about. I mean, you know, I call it right there by the register. I call that the intelligent reading section. Some of you, that's the only place you guys, you know, that's where you're going to start cultivating an interest in reading, I'm sure. You know, that's the stuff where, you know, man gives birth to baby. Giant eagle carries off airline. The one I liked, I've never bought those. I don't even look through them. But almost bought this one. There was in headlines, it said, constipation killed the dinosaurs. I said, well, I don't know if it killed them, but at least we know why they're so mean. And then I thought, gee, that must have been some skeleton they found. And what's all this? But you know what? The stuff in there, at least they make it up about real people. But the real, I mean, if you are too much of a mouth breather to get past that, then go to the one that tells you what's going on in all the soap operas. Because now you can worry about lives that don't even exist. People, that's nuts. I'm sorry. If you're hooked on that stuff, you're crazy. And if you're not crazy, you are so close, man, that you better not lean either way. That's the truth. You don't need to know that junk. They're just all kinds of stuff you don't need to know. I'll tell you what else it would do. It would give you a realistic view of stars and sports figures. Amen. Give you an example. There are some, see, here's what we say. We say, I like John Wayne. No, you don't like John Wayne. You don't know John Wayne. You mean you like the movies he's in. I like John Wayne movies. But I hear people talk, I've heard men say, I want my boy to grow up, be a man like John Wayne. I said, oh, you mean a fraud. I said, you mean John Wayne, the guy that was never a cowboy and never a soldier. Right? Ooh. Somebody's going to come down here and say, my name's John Wayne Smith or something right after this is over. That's right. And when the guy was dying, he was talking about God and said, she. That's what your hero thinks of your God. But you don't want to hear that. Look, man, you can't, you got to like anybody that makes a movie that where they kill that many Indians. But you got to remember something. He ain't that person you're watching. He is not that hero. Steven Seagal. Oh, listen, if Steven Seagal is there, people are going to die. I mean, chunks will be blown out. He'll rip their arm off and beat him to death with it. And Steven Seagal just became a Buddhist. And let's bring Steven Seagal in here. You like him so much. Let's set him in the service. Any one of these services. It doesn't have to be me preaching. Oh, I'll bet he'd just love you and he'd love your Bible and he'd love your preacher, wouldn't he? No, not only would he spit on all of them, but you'd be upset that he got offended.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, you know why? You are not realistic. And if you didn't have a TV, you might get, hey, look, man, I mean, I like those guys that blow people away. I like Stallone and anybody that shoots people up and you know, that's all the blood and guts, that's good stuff. I don't go out and watch all of it. There's all kinds of stuff. You'd be surprised, all movies you never see. Oh, well. But you know what I remember? You know what I always have in mind? I always have in mind that when I see this guy that I like, he's shooting somebody that I don't like, he don't like me. He don't like my Bible. If we were talking, he wouldn't give me 5 minutes. He doesn't want to hear about my God. See, I remember what he is. He's a fake. Fake. That's the translation of the Greek word actor. And your problem is, you got his poster on your wall. And if a preacher says something about it, you get mad at him. Sports figures. You know what Michael Jordan is? He's a good basketball player. I don't care about basketball. Man, if there's a, you know, basketball is one of the zero games for me. But I'm going to say this. He is probably, from what I gather, what I hear, he is probably the best basketball player of all time. I'm guessing that. Because I hear about him all the time, you know. You know what else Michael Jordan is? Nothing. Nothing. And you said, did the guy get... Oh, no, I'm sorry. And you know what that makes you want to do? Buy his cologne. I'm sorry, man. Listen, there's a lot of cologne out there. But when I see Michael Jordan cologne, I think, why would you want to smell? I mean, I got visions of a professional NBA basketball player coming off the court after a hot game. And I can just see them taking a squeegee. You know, they take Michael Jordan and all of his sweat goes into a bottle. And they put it on the shelf. It's Michael Jordan cologne. And you go... I'll tell you what he can do. He can play basketball. You know what else he can do? Nothing. And what does a basketball player do? Nothing. Let me ask you something. You watch a basketball game. Did your car run better? Does that make you better cook? Your clothes fit better. You lost weight. No, you gained weight because you're eating popcorn and drinking Pepsis while you're watching. You know what it'll do? It'll give you a realistic view of these people. These people don't love you. I don't come to me and say, well, some of them are Christians. I believe that. I believe some of them are Christians. So I believe you could go into a bar and lead somebody to Christ. I don't think that's the place to start your soul winning. Amen. Joe Montana. Now that's football. I like football. You know what Joe Montana can do? He can play football. You know what else he can do? Nothing. Not a thing. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. You think so highly of Joe Montana and all the other football stars and all the other baseball stars and all the other basketball stars, and you your kids put their pictures up on the wall. And some 18-year-old kid, scared half out of his wits, crawled over a sand dune in Kuwait and gave his life trying to set free an entire nation. And you don't even know his name and don't care. And there's the hero. There's the hero. Some kid to go on a boat, go to a country that he's never heard of, where they speak a language that he can't understand, and he'll let somebody pop 30 caliber rounds into his body and die and let the desert sand soak up his blood, and you're excited about Michael Jordan. Nuts to you. People, you'd feel better. You'd feel better if you didn't have TV. Because you wouldn't get upset if I said anything about basketball stars then. You wouldn't get upset if I... Listen, man, I'm from Massillon, Ohio. Our high school football stadium seats 26,000 people. We like football. And if I never saw another game, I'd say, oh, well.
Amen.
If I never saw another movie, I'd say, next. And I'm like you. Hey, look, we go in a motel. Here's what happens. If I go to a meeting and I'm in a motel, I get in on Saturday night, you like a good movie. Now, when I say good movie, I mean entertaining movie. Ain't none of them good. You like one with little enough cussing that you can justify not turning it off. Isn't that right? And so I might see something Saturday night. Though most of what you'll do, I had a preacher tell his church this one time. He was talking about TVs and he said, 95% of what's on your TV is bad, but as long as you control it, it's okay. If you watch that 5%. The problem is, you have to wade through the 95% for 4 hours to find any of that 5%. What would you do if somebody said this? There's a restaurant down the street here, and I want to recommend it. 95% of the food in that restaurant is lousy. But if you go there for 20 years, you'll probably get something good. Yeah. Would you go? Not in your life. But you'd buy a TV on that recommendation. Sunday comes, and I might pick something up in the afternoon, but usually I crash. Monday, well, now I start working, so I'll be working during the day, and here's my problem. I'd watch CNN headline news for 30 minutes at a hit. I'd watch it, and then I'd watch it, then I'd watch it, and I'd watch it, and I'd watch it. And it's easy to put the remote halfway across the room and just get busy and not pay attention to it. But I see enough of it. And you'll see enough of it. If you got rid of your TV, you'd see plenty. Trust me. You'd feel better because you'd feel less guilt over what you allow yourself to watch. When somebody preaches on sin, I don't care how you want to take it, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? And it's especially uncomfortable if they're hitting yours. And it's especially uncomfortable when the invitation is given and it's time to get it right. Well, think about this. If you didn't have a TV, you wouldn't have all that. Think of all the sin you wouldn't have to confess. Think of all the sin that you wouldn't get under conviction about. You could stand there during the invitation saying, oh, man, I'm clean on this. I'm telling you, that's what happened if you got rid of your TV. But I want to testify, and there are many others that can, there is life after TV.
Amen.
There is life after TV.
Amen.
And you don't believe it, or you'd get rid of it. Now, that's, you don't believe it. You believe you'd cut off your arm and you could live less one arm. And you get rid of not having hot water. You just can't fathom life without your TV. Because you even know it's bad. But you won't get rid of it. Because you can't believe there is life after TV. There was life after the death of a child. If there can be life after the death of something as precious as a newborn baby, there can be life after the death of something as wicked and vile as your television set. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Now you need to listen to what I am about to say. The invitation. The invitation tonight is to come down here and say, God, I am going to get rid of my Bible. Because if I get rid of my Bible, I won't have all these problems over my TV. What I want you to do is come down and say, God, I'm getting rid of my Bible because I believe I can live without my Bible. But I don't believe I can live without my TV. Because I'll watch my TV all week, but I don't read my Bible all week. So I must believe that I can get along with a TV and no Bible, as opposed to having a Bible and no TV. So what some of you need to do is come down and say, God, I'm finally going to take care of this problem. I'm going to get rid of my TV. I'm going to get rid of my Bible. I'll get out of church, and I'll get away from preaching, and I'll get me one of those TVs with two screens, and I will sit back and enjoy myself, and I'll get rid of it. It won't be a problem anymore. Because I'm telling you something, folks. Some of you will carry a King James Bible home on Sunday and not pick it up till the next Sunday. That's life without a Bible. But you can't conceive of life without a TV. Or maybe you'd like to utilize this invitation for something more productive. It's up to you. Some of you need to talk to God. Some of you husbands, some of you fathers, some of you defenders of your family, some of you that don't like to hear your wife hear those words in a restaurant. Father, you've been good to us. You know something, God? If these folks got rid of their TV, they'd still have a dishwasher. They still have a washing machine. They still have an electric mixer. They still have a vacuum cleaner. They still have a radio, God. When the storms come, they don't watch TV anyways, God. They listen to the radio station. God, they still have plenty of things. that they could enjoy, that could entertain them, and that would not hurt them. Father, they'd still have it good if they did not have a TV. My desire, God, is that everybody in this place would get rid of them. But if I make that the invitation, somebody will get rid of one tonight, and they'll have it back inside of 30 days. And it'll be a bigger one. What I ask you, God, is this. Make the cussing on their television louder. Make the bad scenes more graphic. Make them more offensive. Hit them right smack in the face with what they have paid to have come into their home and corrupted. These men who will boast of how they would defend their wives, let them see what they're doing to their wives and their children. Make their televisions more obnoxious. Make them more vile. Make them more unbearable. And I'll guarantee you, God, there'll still be people here that will not get rid of them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.